racing towards flight number 3.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Seth Merrow. This is Racing Across America. As always, thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Always appreciate their support of some of the programming and events here at Capital OTB. On this morning's program, as usual on a Sunday, we will do some stakes recaps. I'll kick the first segment off just doing some undercard stakes, and we'll save the major stakes, the Southwest, the Fountain of Youth, a couple of the others, for the next half hour, because we'll be joined by Steve Vick, host of SiriusXM's At the Races, also, of course, co-host on Loose on the Lead during our Saratoga summer season. But I thought I'd bring Steve in, get some of his thoughts on the stakes action from yesterday, which was fast and furious, and clearly some performances that will that bode well for various divisions the rest of the year, including the Derby Trail, both the Fountain of Youth and the Southwest. Nice performances there that, again, will certainly it certainly did tout some three-year-olds to watch, already talented horses that further validated continued scrutiny on the Derby Trail, as it were. And again, that next half hour, we'll hit on those races with Steve Vick. We'll also do a little handicapping this morning, taking a look at some of the action for this afternoon. I thought maybe I'd look at the late pick four sequence from Oaklawn, because that'll give us a chance to look at the Monomoy Girl race. So we'll do that in a little while as well. Do want to remind you that today, here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we have a promotion to take advantage of the prize wheel. We'll be spinning this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, put your name in the bin. Folks get randomly selected throughout the afternoon. If your name is picked, you get to go up and spin the prize wheel. There are vouchers available, merchandise, always a lot of fun. Prize Wheel Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's kind of kick things off and take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday. As I said early on, we'll just do some of the undercard stakes, which were fine as well. I don't want to make it sound like these are lesser, but they were fun and offered some opportunities. And we're going to kick things off looking at the Canadian Turf yesterday from Gulfstream. I liked Winter's Back, and Winter's Back, a little bit disappointing, running fourth in here. But yesterday on Racing Across America, I had Ron Nicoletti join us. And I said at the time, I congratulated Ron on really a couple of weeks that have just been phenomenal with the sheet they put out. You can get Ron's picks, Acacia's picks, every day at the Gulfstream Park website. Nice printable sheet. And Ron's just been on fire down there. He mentioned it was last week, the week before. He had 10 wins on the card one of those days. And so he's just been going well. And yesterday he mentioned his top pick on the card, his best bet, was Venezuelan Hug in the Canadian Turf. And congratulations to Ron. Best bet, $11 winner. You can't beat that. Venezuelan Hug is the number 6 horse here in a scrum coming down to the wire. You can see the chicklet. Going to have to find Junior Alvarado. He's going to have to find a little room. You can see him in the pink there. And it gets to be about 4 horses on the wire, and Junior Alvarado kind of gets his way through. Olympic Runner looks like he's going to get it to 2 horse, but no, Junior Alvarado scoots through and just gets up chart margin, a neck. Olympic Runner, second by a neck, over Gear Jockey. And like I say, the top pick I had from Todd Pletcher, Winter's Back, finishes 4th in there. The favorite was Eons, a horse I liked last time. Over, and I'm surprised Eons went off as the favorite, but off of that try at Tampa last time, I liked Eons in the Tampa Bay back on February 6th. We talked about that, the stakes preview that week, and The Eons went off at 19-1 and just got beat a couple of weeks ago. Again, over at Gulfstream 3 weeks ago. And so that one goes from the 19, the nice 19-1 near miss to 5-2 yesterday. Wound up fifth in there. And I had Eons a little bit down in the mix. I wasn't as thrilled with them yesterday. Monarch's Glen was probably the disappointment. I thought that horse was a little bit interesting. We talked about the horse yesterday with Safi Joseph. They claimed the horse, and Monarch's Glen just didn't show anything yesterday. But nice performance from Venezuelan Hug, coming off a win in the Sunshine Turf. And as I say, congratulations to Ron Nicoletti for a good call there. On, as again, a best bet. You get $11 on your best bet. That's one that can make your afternoon if you played it properly. All right, let's turn the page and go a race earlier. As I said, some of these races yesterday will have produced runners that will make noise in their various divisions. And one of the subdivisions I talk about all the time, three-year-olds on the turf, and that was the case in the Palm Beach. And I think the winner here will be a nice little runner in that three-year-old division on the turf. I put Annex on top off of the debut effort. That was a nice win for Billmott, L&J Foxwoods and company. And Annex gets it done for Mott and company. Chart Margins are next. Scarlet Sky second. Chess's Dream runs third in here. But Annex is the number two horse. You can see getting the momentum going under Junior Alvarado, who is, again, also aboard Venezuelan Hug. So a couple of stakes looked at so far and a couple of wins for Junior Alvarado. Gets it done nicely, though, in start number two, win number two. And it's always a bonus. You step out of maiden company and second career start into a stakes race like that, and you get it done. Again, I think they have a nice little three-year-old turfer on their hands. So Bill Mott, the son of Constitution, getting it done in the Palm Beach yesterday. Nice little field of some horses that already had a little bit of stakes experience, but now going forward coming out. And I was a little bit surprised that with the experience of some of the other horses in the race, Annex actually went off as the favorite, the 6-5 favorite. But betting public nailed it, and Annex comes out of it again, now 2-2 with the win in the Palm Beach. The Mac Darmida also a little bit earlier on the card, and this one was kind of interesting. It was a little bit of a pace scenario, and I had talked about this when I was in here yesterday with OTB Live. I had Phantom Currency down at the bottom of my mix, but I said, you know what, with that early speed, watch out for this horse. When I talked about the horse, I want to say it was about 9-1. Eventually went off at 6-1, but I said, yeah, but the early speed. I liked Aquaphobia. Aquaphobia, oof, winds up last in the field of eight and was vanned off, in fact. So it was not a nice performance from Aquaphobia, a horse I didn't have in the mix. And I said, because I was getting some odds and I liked the odds on Phantom Currency, I said, maybe box up mine in here in an exact. I said the one that may throw a monkey wrench into the exact is Tide of the Sea, and I did not use that one, and Tide of the Sea is going to wind up running second here. But on the front end, under Paco Lopez, it is going to be Phantom Currency, who was a legitimate early 23 and change, but then kind of slowed it down, 49-114, and they get into the lane here, and Phantom Currency, the six, is able to hold them off, three quarters of a length to Tide of the Sea, who, you know, an okay second, but no threat, really. I don't know whether you really had any sweat on your brow if you used Phantom Currency there. Moon Over Miami, third, and Temple runs fourth. Admission Office, who, second choice, yeah, 3-1 was the second, a little over 3-1, so actually Temple at 3-1 was the second choice. Admission Office was the third choice, also a little bit disappointing. Running sixth in there for Brian Lynch. I had that one in my mix as well. But Phantom Currency, again, looked like the lone speed. I say it often. It seems maybe a little counterintuitive. But speed going longer and at a mile and three-eighths, this was, you know, in this day and age, a marathon. Took them all the way around. Because that speed can kind of lope along, and then you got a little something left in the tank when you turn into the stretch. And so, again, it was a nice ride from Paco Lopez to work a little bit to get the lead early, but then slowed things down nicely in the middle fractions and had enough left to get it done there. And again, that, when I talked about that as they were, you know, coming out of the paddock or in that vicinity yesterday, I want to say the horse was about 9-1, but you still wound up with $15 and change on Phantom Currency if you decided to take a little pop with what looked like and wound up to be the speed in the race. DQ gets it done in the Here Comes the Bride. Coming down the stretch, it will be Spanish Love Affair, the number one horse, coming first under the wire. Number three, Con Lima, runs second. Joy of Painting, the number five, third. I Get It runs fourth. Spanish Love Affair was the favorite at 8-5. Con Lima, 2-1, was the second choice. And you can see Spanish Love Affair is an easy winner here. But there was a DQ, and the DQ was on the turn. So you didn't see it there, as I say, an easy winner. And you think, well, what happened there? Well, it was on the turn, and it was a fair call. Spanish Love Affair kind of jammed up the number one horse, Spanish Love Affair, jammed up I Get It on the turn. And it was really kind of coming into the turn on the backstretch. There was room on the inside. I Get It came up into the slot and really got up almost even. Oh, here we go. And you can see them there. You'll see the four horse on the rail here gets kind of right up in there and then gets jammed up. And really the one bounces that one off the rail. And you can see the four at that point then drop back. You get a better look here as how close they, you know, how close the four. It gets right up in there. So there's clearly room. There was clearly space for the four. Got up in there, and then the four kind of went and bounced. The one kind of came in and bounced the four off the rail, trips a little bit. Stewards looked for a long time. And to me, as we were sitting in here doing OTB Live yesterday, it seemed like a pretty obvious call that the four had kind of, the one had kind of jammed up the four. And again, sometimes a horse may come up where there isn't space, but the four had a clear path, got right up in there even with the one. So the upshot was subsequently Spanish Love Affair, first under the wire, gets DQ'd and placed fourth behind I Get It, the four horse, which means Con Lima got moved up to the win. Con Lima, the Pletcher runner, who, again, on the three-year-old filly side of things on the turf, has already been a nice runner with came into this race 7 exacta finishes and 7 starts. Now the record is 8 starts, 4 wins, 4 seconds for Con Lima, and a couple of stakes wins, a couple of stakes placing. So they have a nice little 3-year-old filly turfer in Con Lima. Spanish Love Affair for Mark Cassie hadn't been seen since trying the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last year. It was a nice seasonal debut, just the luck of the race put that one in a little bit of a jackpot coming under the wire and having the stewards look. But Spanish Love Affair, nice runner in that division as well. One more race, and again, we'll look at the other major races a little bit later in the show. Major races from Gulfstream a little bit later in the show, the Fountain of Youth and the Devona Dale and whatnot. But one more race I wanted to show from Gulfstream. Because this is a performance by a 3-year-old that may make some noise a little bit later on. It was a maiden special race. We had Safi Joseph on the show yesterday. We talked a little bit about Collaborate. Went off as the 7-5 favorite in the career debut back on February 6th and ran a close-up fifth in a field of 12 after having been back a little bit and having gotten off slowly. Safi said yesterday, a little bit disappointed that they didn't win the career debut, but he was expecting a good performance. You could tell he was confident going into yesterday. Collaborate took the money and was the just over even money favorite. Benny from the Bronx, though, was kind of the interesting story horse. Benny from the Bronx, Collaborate's going to be the number 4. Benny from the Bronx, the number 6. That one was a half to Charlatan and will hold on for second, the half to Charlatan. But look at Collaborate. I mean, the chart margin here is 12 and a half lengths. This is some performance under Tyler Gaffleone. Second career start for the Safi Joseph runner. A Son of Into Mischief that was purchased right up the turnpike in 2019. Faceit Tipton summer sale, again, a couple seasons ago, $600,000, and lived up to that price yesterday with a really good-looking maiden breaker in career start number two. And you would have to think, this is a three-year-old coming out of a maiden race. And it's a maiden race at the end of February. So, when will this horse start knocking on the stakes door? I don't know. But the Collaborator will be one to watch this season going forward. All right, a couple more before we wind up our stakes recap segment and go into a little handicapping. Go back, and there were three stakes yesterday at Oaklawn. We'll look at a couple of those later on, the Razorback in the Southwest. But in between those two on the card yesterday was the Spring Fever. I just wanted to show Kamari. When I handicapped yesterday during the show, OTB Live, I had Kamari a little down in the mix, and I just wasn't sure whether she was better on turf. That said, and I said yesterday, had won on an off track at Oaklawn in a stakes race last year, so did have some proven dirt ability. But, a lot of the recent works, or some of the recent works down at Palmetto's, were on the turf, and they seemed better than dirt work out at Gulfstream Park West that was the most recent work. So I just wasn't quite convinced, but I said, there may be class here for Kamari. We'll watch the stretch run. The class was there for Kamari. Kamari's the number 9 horse. Casual, the number 4 for Steve Asmussen, runs second. She's on Majestic, runs third. Amy's Challenge, who I liked and was the second choice in the betting, a little bit disappointing running fourth. Amy's Challenge is the number 3. Just as you see, can't get it going there. Nice late run from Casual, but no threat to the winner. As I say, you could tell Kamari just kind of outclassed this bunch. And Wesley Ward, runner that, again, had shown some ability already. Turf and dirt, because, as I say, won the Purple Martin here last year on a sloppy track. Subsequently, had gone over and tried Royal Ascot last year, ran second in a Group 1. And so it seemed like maybe this horse was a little more turf meant, but they have all kinds of options now with Kamari. She looked really good yesterday in the off-going in the Spring Fever at Oaklawn Park. And as I say, just with that kind of performance, just outclassed that bunch. And finally, one more look. I was watching the Naira Signal yesterday, and I agree, Andy talked quite a bit referring to how cool of a horse Mr. Buff is. Can't agree more. 7-year-old gelding from Chester and Mary Broman, John Kimmel, and Kimmel's having a really nice season down at Aqueduct this winter. But Mr. Buff, $1.25 million in the bank before going into this. I had Mr. Buff on top. And last time in the Jazzle, I wasn't that convinced about Mr. Buff. I thought, off the last few races, I'm not sure he is the same Mr. Buff that will give a top performance compared to what we've seen in the career so far. Well, I was wrong in the Jazzle. He looked fabulous and fired a 102 buyer. I didn't see the buyer yet for the Stymie, but he looked good again yesterday. Mr. Buff's the number 3 horse here. Limonite makes a nice late run, and the chart margin winds up to be only half a length, but at 70 cents to the dollar, Mr. Buff once again on the front end virtually all the way around with, as I say, number 4 Limonite closing. Number 2 Musical Heart runs third. But boy, Mr. Buff, and you can see there, Limonite, nice late run, and the wire comes up in time to get Mr. Buff the victory. So now 17 wins in 44 career starts. The money in the bank, we're up near, got to be up near $1.4 million for Mr. Buff. Nice performance yesterday at Aqueduct. All right, I'm going to go to the break. When we come back, we'll take a quick look at the Pick 4 sequence from Oaklawn this afternoon. As I say, Monomoy Girl returns in one of those races, so that'll help us just kind of preview that action. And then bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by Steve Bick, and we'll jump into some of the other stakes action from yesterday, the Fountain of Youth, Southwest, and much, much more. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Again, a little handicapping for this afternoon. We'll take a look at that late pick four sequence at Oaklawn on this Sunday, which will include the Oaklawn card overall, includes a couple of stakes races. The first stake, I think, it's race number six. I'm going to start with race number seven, but the Dixie Belle, nice little stakes race for the three-year-old fillies going six. Abrogate looks pretty good in there in that Dixie Belle. But I'll talk a little bit about the late pick four. Again, not giving a specific ticket, just kind of looking at the sequence in general, kicking off with race number seven, which is an optional claimer, non-winners of one other than three-quarters of a mile in the seventh this afternoon at Oaklawn. I have it 4, 5, 7, and 8 out of sight on top. Goes out for Brad Cox. First three starts of the career, nice improvement. Start one to start two to start three. And then on the move from Churchill down to Oaklawn, broke through to break the maiden last time with a really nice performance. Went off as the 4-5 favorite, but again, just seemed to benefit from the experience over the first three starts. And certainly what we've seen so far indicates this one may be a nice little three-year-old in the making. And, you know, steps up a condition, and sometimes it takes him a try or two to figure that out. But this one just seems to be moving in the right direction in a way that this may not prove to be an obstacle this afternoon. Bob's Edge goes out for Larry Jones. This one broke the maiden two back at Churchill, subsequently came down to Oaklawn and dropped into a non-winners of one other than. Ran an okay third, so this one got some experience at this level. Now comes in off a little bullet workout leading into this. So Bob's Edge, a player as well. And then Whiskey Double going out for Steve Asmussen. Broke the maiden in the career debut at Churchill in June, and then laid off until January, so there may have been a little bit of an issue there. The comeback at the fairgrounds was okay in a non-winners of two lifetime, and last time down at the fairgrounds showed a little early speed and faded late to be a well-beaten sixth. That, however, the last race was at a mile and a 16th. The cutback to six attracts me today. I think with the two starts this season under the belt, and the cutback this afternoon, Whiskey Double becomes a player as well. Lockup, I will say, at 15-1 on the morning line, lockup for the coach, Wayne Lucas, has a lot of early speed. And in the late pick four, if you're looking up the board and there's a little bit of a price, this one may try to steal it on the front end. I wouldn't argue that's a possibility. So in the seventh at Oaklawn, 4, 5, 7, and 8. 4, 5, 7, and 8. I said there was two stakes. There's actually three, but this one is a state-bred stakes race, race number 8. The Down the Dusty Road Breeders, and again, state-bred, Arkansas-breds, and these Arkansas-bred races at Oaklawn, a little bit of anything can happen. But I have this one, 6, 3, 10, and 4. I put Bye Bye Jay on top. Been facing open company. In fact, tried the honorable miss up at Saratoga this past summer. It was a well-beaten six behind Come Dancing and Ladies Island. But, again, this is a nice spot to jump in and maybe pick up the better part of $150,000 purse, jumping in and, again, facing Statebreds. The last time this horse was in against Statebreds, this stakes race last year where she won fairly easily that day. Go back to the previous season at Oaklawn, was in another Statebred stakes race and a winner. So it seems like in this group amongst her own Arkansas kind, as it were, Bye-Bye Jay, pretty proficient. So we'll use her on top. Miss Antioch in the second spot, lightly raced runner that may still have some upside potential, but what we've seen so far is pretty good. Couple of wins and four starts, including the seasonal debut right here at Oaklawn. And then the Mary Rose in the third spot. Off from May until the end of January, the comeback effort was a nice win here at Oaklawn for trainer Brad Cox. Should be a player with this bunch. So again, kind of a fun little stakes race for the Arkansas Breds down at Oaklawn. 6-3, 10-4 in the eighth. Ninth race, though, is the one that I just wanted to preview a little bit. That's why I pulled up this sequence, because it is the Byakoa. Again, this is one of those races that was scheduled a couple of weeks ago, and with the weather issues down there, got moved to this weekend. But the Byakoa Grade 3 event, $250,000. 8.5 furlongs, and yes, it's the return of Monomoy Girl, Brad Cox, a trainee that was 4-for-4 in 2020 after having been on the sidelines for all of 2019. She was just phenomenal last year. Brad Cox has had her and training her down at the fairgrounds. And so with the weather issues at Oaklawn, she wasn't affected by that, has maintained her training schedule and comes up to make the seasonal debut in the Byakoa. I couldn't get by her. I mean, Finite is in here. I used Finite underneath, and that's a Asmussen runner who has on occasion looked very good. The Chaluki back in November at Churchill was a nice win, and there were some other nice stakes wins underneath, but I'm not sure on her best day and on Monomoy Girl's pretty good day, Monomoy Girl still doesn't have a real edge. Our Super Freak for Cherie DeVoe, nice little second place finish in a stakes race here at Oaklawn last time. She's worth considering, and Asmussen also has another broad who could be a player potentially, but no wins, no seconds in eight starts last year. Best effort puts her in the hunt. But really, a best effort puts almost anybody in the field in the hunt, probably for second, though. Just going to be fun this afternoon to see, you know, Monomoy Girl come back as a six-year-old as we'll get treated to another season for Monomoy Girl. And she kicks it off this afternoon in the ninth at Oaklawn. The Byakoa, I have it 6-3, 5-2. And finally, wrapping it up at Oaklawn this afternoon at about 6:41 our time, 5:41 their time. 4, 5, 9, and 3 at Oaklawn in the finale. Wildwood's Beauty steps out of stakes company. You really look down the page. Most of the races on the page are stakes races. I think fits nicely into this allowance calendar condition. Comes out of a third place finish here in the seasonal debut, so I think the form is going to be fine, the fitness, and again, probably class-wise matches up nicely with this bunch. Grayson's Macho Gal, well beaten in the Pippin last time, but this is a horse I think could be a player at a price. 10-1 on the morning line. Be interested to see what we get. But I think if you look at the races 2 and 3 back at Churchill and Keeneland, showed a little bit of early speed in both of those. Tried to have the speed in the Pippin and was in the lead for a bit, but that was a little bit of a tougher bunch. I think with this group, maybe the speed for Grayson's Macho Gal is a little bit tougher in here, and maybe she gets out there and becomes interesting around the far turn and at a price potentially. And then Auction Fever in the third spot. Seasonal debut is okay. Running third can be a player in with this group as well. In the 10th and final at Oaklawn, 4, 5, 9, and 3. again, on a nice Sunday afternoon down at Oak Lawn with some stakes action, including the return of Monomoy Girl. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Steve Bickey. We will go over some of the major stakes action from yesterday, including the Fountain of Youth and the Southwest. All of that after this. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB. Welcome back to Racing Across America. Sunday morning, that means the stakes recap, and I hit on some of the stakes a little bit earlier, but save the big ones for our man Steve Bick, and you can expect a lot of stakes recap as well on the radio show this week, Sirius and XM's At the Races. The host, Steve Bick. Steve, good morning.
Seth, good morning. Good morning, everybody. All I see is the control room. I want to see Seth.
I don't see you on the screen yet either, but I think they're working on it. But I was going to point out my tie. I was going to say, does the tie look familiar? But when they get it worked out, you can tell me if the tie.
I can see Brian. He looks like he's ready to rob a train.
what kind of a look is that? there we go. See, you have me now?
No, I still got the control room. I can probably. Oh, actually, I see Leave It to Beaver on one of the screens. Pull that up.
Yeah, Well, they always got something going in the background there because I'm not that entertaining. I am no Theodore Cleaver by any means. all right, let's jump right in and get some of the stakes action because there were some performances yesterday. I said at the top of the show. And, yeah, let's just do a little kind of overview of the day with the delayed stakes over at Oaklawn. They turned out to be nice and the stakes at Gulfstream, very nice. But as I said in kind of the overview to start the show, boy, there are some clearly players in the various divisions coming out of the stakes yesterday that are going to be worth paying attention to. It was a really nice stakes day.
You know, it was a funny, I'll say this, there was a lot of racing and the Gulfstream card, as chock full as it was, with some nice stake horses and potential, you know, you really only had that one horse, the one that Devona Dale, and actually, upon further review, she might be okay. That whole Bodemeister, there's more to her than meets the eye. She actually came out of a New York bred mare that a lot of people will remember that Tommy Bush had, a whole lot of shaken. And those owners and breeders, they paid $200,000 for the mare. And that whole Bodemeister wasn't as ridiculous a 52-1 shot as she turned out. I mean, she ran a big race. That was the one result I thought that was, you know, tough to come by. Otherwise, it seemed like a very formful day.
Yeah, and some really nice performances. And let's get into one of the ones that certainly will put either a one or a two on the top of most Derby trail list. I'm expecting when we look at Essential Quality later, that probably still stays in the number one spot. But Greatest Honor yesterday. We'll take a look. And I have the entire running of the Fountain of Youth. I talked to Safi Joseph yesterday. Drain the Clock was very interesting, stretching out of the sprints, and Drain the Clock does get the lead, takes him most of the way around, and we'll see on the turn. I felt when he kind of moved away on the turn, I thought, oh, this is probably his race. But then coming from the back of the pack, number eight, Greatest Honor, gets it done at even money. Drain the Clock is going to run third, and Papatou, who makes a little run, the 10 horse, makes a little run on the turn into the stretch, holds on for third in here. But boy, when they come down the stretch and we see that number eight horse, Greatest Honor, getting it done, this was some performance.
If you heard Shug McGahee after the race, you know, basically this is, you know, a nice way to get ready for the for the Florida Derby and for the Kentucky Derby. He looked like he was kind of mired. You know, here you can see he's well back and it doesn't look like, you know, he's in any position to put in a run. And given that there wasn't much speed other than Drain the Clock, I think everybody's expectation was that Jose Ortiz would have him a little closer, you know, early on in the race. And so at this point you're thinking, yeesh, you know, he'll be lucky to salvage a minor share. But when you're going to see Ortiz ask him here, as they kind of come around, you're going to see him hit him a couple of times and shake him up. He makes up seven or eight lengths in, I don't know, a little over a 16th of a mile, and he inhales the winner or the leader and it's over. I mean, this was eye-catching. He really does remind everybody, I think, of Orb. He's got a lot of that same style in him. I think this is a better horse than Orb, and he's a horse that's only going to get better when they go to a mile and an eighth and to a mile and a quarter. So, you know, Shug was, I think, relieved, but I think he had the same reaction that you did, and I'm sure a lot of people did. I talked to Nick Casada this week, you know, who bred Drain the Clock. They were really excited and they wanted to test his distance. I don't think he wants to go beyond a mile and a 16th, and his long-term goal should probably be the Alan Jerkins, but he's certainly a nice horse and a very nice to get another, you know, another stripe to turn mile and a 16th, grade two. Good job for him. That Papatou is a nice horse. compromised by that 10 post. So I'm sure he'll go on to the Florida Derby. Tarantino ran okay. And you know, it's funny. There's that crazy Giraffales, the one that literally looks like a giraffe, a giant 17 hand three-year-old. Everybody makes fun of him that, you know, he pursued things coming out of the Holy Bull. He picked up another check in here. He was fifth. He managed to get the last big check again, like he did in the Holy Bull. So he's not, it's not fair to make him a punchline. You know, Prime Factor was awful. Didn't lift a hoof. You know, this was a nice performance. The figure came back an 89 after some discussion. Mark Hopkins of Buyer Associates, he thought the figure should have been lower, but Mark also thought that the number in the Holy Bull should have, you know, was low. And Andy Buyer is calling for a higher fig. Chances are, once again, Greatest Honor probably ran a better race than it's going to look on paper, but his best is yet to come as the distance stretches out.
Yeah, pairs up a couple of 89s. One more I'll mention is Fire at Will, who I would assume probably goes back to the turf. Wound up eighth in the field of 10 there yesterday.
He folded up shop. I don't blame anybody at this time of year. You got yourself a nice three-year-old. What did he miss? The Palm Beach? If it turns out that he could negotiate dirt, he's that much more valuable on, you know, going long. Even if he had gotten a placement in this race, it's still valuable. So he'll go back to the turf. There's plenty, obviously, three-year-old opportunities for a horse like Fire at Will. But you absolutely try and see what you've got on the dirt before you return your turf horse to turf.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go back. Speaking of turf, the very one yesterday, we're going to watch the stretch run here. I like number four, Tuned. That one winds up running fourth in here at 7-1. Antoinette, I said I didn't use Antoinette yesterday, and I said I may regret that. She was stepping in against Older for the first time. She is on the lead here, the Bill Mott trainee, the number three horse. Betting public, though, was on that one. A lukewarm 7-2 favorite, but she gets it done. Running second is going to be Belle Laura, the number two horse. Running third, Sister Hanan, the number 10. And as I say, Tuned runs fourth. But a pretty clear-cut winner for Antoinette. Took them all the way around under Jose Ortiz.
Yeah, I blew this myself because when I went over the race with Mike Welch on Friday, Antoinette and Tuned, I put them up as, you know, the obvious contenders versus the first-time North America California Queen for Chad. And I kind of got taken in by that one myself. And I left. It didn't matter anyway for the multi-race sequences because of the upset in the Debona Dale. But I agree. I mean, Antoinette, I thought, had every reason to debut nicely. You know, when you get four-year-olds that are coming back off of, let's say, 90, 100, 120 days, 3, 4, 5 months, like she is, there, when you look at their performances as a three-year-old, don't assume that, okay, they're going to come back at the same level. They're going to come back if they're a good horse. And obviously, you know, if Bill Mott didn't, you know, waste time with a prep coming back in a race like this, he's saying, you know, she's ready for what she's supposed to be doing. And you get a performance like this, that's a winning performance. Godolphin, you know, had a mammoth day. I mean, we'll talk about Mystic Guide and Essential Quality, but this is another Godolphin homebred, and a good way for her to start her four-year-old year winning here. And, you know, 920 in retrospect, that 920 may end up feeling like a really nice price as the season goes on.
Yeah. Bill Mott training, and he's having a really good season. Mott. All right, let's.
He's Bill Mott. I think they put him in the Hall of Fame, I think.
And he's validating it, so there you go. The Debona Dale, three-year-old fillies going a mile, and the aforementioned Debona Dale with the upset. You know, this one went off at 52-1, and I agree with you. You look back, and you could make the case. The one, though, Competitive Speed went off at 53-1 and runs third. That one, the price was really crazy because Competitive Speed had won the Glitter Woman two starts back. So the prices maybe were just kind of askew because V-Quist was in here. And that, as much as the winner, is the storyline. Vikquist winds up ninth in the field of 10 at 1-2. The winner, though, Bodemeister, 52-1, wins by 6.5. I mean, this wasn't even close. Running second is Crazy Beautiful at 9-1, and Competitive Speed, as I said, at another kind of crazy price, 53-1, runs third. But as you say, you could kind of take a look at this. And this was the same trainer that upset the Tampa race last year with King Guillermo. So getting known as being a trainer maybe you have to look at when you see 40-1 or higher.
Well, as I mentioned, this is a filly that comes out of a very familiar mare to New York fans. Tommy Bush trained that whole lot of Shaken, and the breeder owner, Sabana Farm, they paid $200,000 for her as a broodmare prospect. They've bred her. In fact, she's got an Arrogate weanling right now, and she's got a Union Rags two-year-old that are behind this filly. It wasn't so much that she was, you know, shocking. What I thought was impressive was the way she did this. I mean, I'm just looking at the – oh, in fact, this was the race Mike Welch put up. He had to hand time this. They managed – like everything else at Gulfstream that's completely, you know, sideways, they couldn't time this race. So there's only a final time on the charts. Welch, check Welch's Twitter feed for splits, at least hand-done splits. But, I mean, she basically ran everybody off their feet and just kept going. You mentioned Vikquist, and you got to mention Milfay.
Yeah.
Vikquist, this was disconcerting, undoubtedly. And she becomes just the latest casualty of juvenile filly winners that's tried to come back in a stake as a three-year-old and has faltered. You have to go back to Songbird, is the last Breeders' Cup juvenile winner to come back in a stake and win. She won the Las Virgenes. Four of the other five have come back and have been beaten. Champagne Room or Caledonia Road, one of them ran in a allowance and won. The others, like British Idiom, and Jaywalk at either Caledonia Road or Caledonia Road or Champagne Room, one or the other, came back and got beat as well in a stake debut as a three-year-old. So there's a real formula here where there's an issue, and I think you gotta play against these returnees, particularly the fillies. Essential Quality coming back later, we can talk about with Oaklawn. Felt like a more likely winner than Vikquist was if you wanted to take this approach. But clearly, you got to take a negative stance on these fillies coming back out of the Breeders' Cup for a while until the trend goes the other direction.
Yeah, that is very interesting, because that was just, I mean, you talk dud. It's a dud with capital letters. Ninth in the field of 10. Well, the 10th horse was walked off the track. So that was just really a disappointing performance. All right, let's go a little earlier. The Honey Fox, you talk about not a disappointing performance. This was a whole great storyline. Got Stormy. Sold last November after the Breeders' Cup for millions of dollars. And then Mark Cassie gets the call, we want to keep running, you want to keep training her. And she comes back. And after ending the year in some turf sprints, they go back to the mile. And that was maybe the question mark. And we're going to watch the stretch run here. Got Stormy will be the number two horse, holding off Zofel, the number six, runs second. Feel Glorious runs third. Betting public was on Got Stormy. Again, the number two horse, as just over even money, and she will hold off. And watching live during OTB Live yesterday, I thought she got it, not easily, but I called it, oh, she's got it. We'll put up the photo. Man, that you can fit like your finger in between there. She just got it under the wire. But a nice seasonal debut for Got Stormy. Again, kind of a fun storyline that she's coming back for this six-year-old season.
Well, I spent a good portion of the day kind of texting back and forth with Gary Barber, who was having you fold in Vikquist. It was not a pleasant day for Gary. This was the highlight, and he doesn't even own her anymore. he bet her, I guess, pretty heavily. But you know, the Spanish love affair gets disqualified, and Vikqvist runs badly. Olympic runner gets caught at the wire as well. So it was it wasn't the greatest day for Gary. And I wrote to him. I said, they said that Got Stormy won, but it can't be her because she's not wearing the pink jacket. It's not Got Stormy if she's not wearing those pink and black the colors of Gary Barber. The story here that's notable is her stretching back out, as you mentioned. And, you know, I thought this was a very good performance because, you know, when you're dealing with turf sprinting and you've got them sharp for that distance, stretching back out, you know, you got to see what, you know, where she stands. Well, if she's going to be a miler again, this was a very good step in that direction. I think a 95 buyer, if I'm not mistaken, in here. Very, very nice. She's been one of my favorite horses the last several years. And obviously Cassie and his team, you knows her inside out. Nice win. Exciting win too. And Zafel, Brendan Walsh, she ran her race, just got beat on the square.
And again, fun story. Glad she's coming back. Got Stormy. And Mark Cassie in the post race winner circle was saying, all kinds of options now, but we won't go longer than a mile. But I wonder if maybe we'll see her in the four-star Dave again up at Saratoga.
Why not? Yeah. You got plenty of opportunities. They'll probably look toward, Keeneland or to Churchill, the Distaff Turf Mile. Makes sense, I suppose. I think, is that the Derby? Is that now the Derby City Gaming? John Nichols texted me with a picture of us, Seth, and made me, that's why I was laughing earlier. So John, John can answer that question for us. The Derby City Mile, I think, is now what used to be the Churchill Downs Distaff Mile. That's Cassie has, very successfully. You think back to Teppan, that's a race that, he circles and targets for. So I'm guessing that'll be the intermediate goal for Got Stormy.
Yeah, just fun to see her back. And speaking of a mile, we'll wrap up the Gulfstream action. We'll look at Oaklawn in a moment, but we'll wrap up our Gulfstream action with the Gulfstream Park Mile. Again, another fun race on the card that I think produced a performer to watch in the division this year, the handicap division. Performer, I said when I was handicapping the show yesterday, I thought both Performer and Fearless had shown flashes of talent, but just kind of hadn't validated themselves. And I thought yesterday's race, I said before they went off, they both had the opportunity to maybe step forward and validate. Fearless did, Performer didn't. Fearless is going to be the number 5 horse for Todd Pletcher, getting it done. Number 6, Avanti, runs second. Number 4, Performer, who I thought was done on the turn. I'll at least give Performer credit for kind of hanging in for third, but, well-beaten third here. But Fearless in the seasonal debut, 5-year-old debut, only the 7th career start, gets it done. And as I say, should be a little bit of a player in the handicap division.
Well, certainly in the one-turn mile, yeah. The Met mile kind of a intermediate goal, you got to think that's what they're thinking about. New stake winner for Ghost Zapper for Lindale, and 102 buyer for Fearless. This was a very good performance. I'll talk to Shug tomorrow. Shug did not have a great day until Greatest Honor won. Pretty much everybody kind of underperformed. Scarlet Sky and Performer. He gutted out that win against Eye of a Jedi. And I do wonder, Eye of a Jedi didn't run particularly well in here either. Those efforts, what was that? Not the Mr. Prospector.
Fred Hooper. The Hooper.
Huh?
The Fred Hooper.
The Hooper, thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe the two of them kind of regressed off that effort. But, Fearless and Avant-Garde. Avant-Garde ran very well.
Yeah.
Give him some credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And going to be interesting to see, as I say, very lightly raced 5-year-old who had shown some flashes already going back to the beginning of the career. Going to be interesting to watch him going forward for Pletcher. All right, let's shift our attention over to Oaklawn, and we'll start with the big race, the Southwest, because, again, I thought the three-year-old races, both of the three-year-old races yesterday, produced what I think are probably 1-2 now on most people's lists off of yesterday's performances. I took a little pop yesterday with Jackie's Warrior. I'm a homer, and after the couple of nice finishes up at Saratoga that we saw this summer, the good win in the Champagne, I thought maybe in the seasonal debut with the early speed. And Jackie's Warrior did go out and made some early pace, just couldn't hold it in the stretch with Essential Quality getting the jump and making the run, with Spielberg, the number seven horse, making a nice late run for Baffert that looked pretty good as well. Didn't threaten the winner, but off of this performance yesterday. And as I say, I think 1-2 now, Essential Quality and Greatest Honor, and Essential Quality probably gets the one post position, having done it at a few different tracks now. But boy, this was a nice performance from the 2-year-old champion.
Well, that, and you know, that's the key. He's the 2-year-old champion, and you know, he's unbeaten. And what else is there to say? This was a very, very good comeback. You know, the big story, first of all, to even talk about here, is the condition of the track. Yeah. I mean, this was a sea of slop. They had that huge deluge came down, about an hour and change beforehand. And so, you know, for some extent, you don't really, you know, you don't really read too much into these results. You know, Essential Quality comes out of this with a very nice performance to take the next step toward. I mean, they're not going to run in the Rebel, obviously. The Rebel's in 2 weeks. So they'll wait for the Arkansas Derby, you would think. What is there to say? Jackie's Warrior did not come back here the way he left. I mean, he ran a tremendous race in the Breeders' Cup. And anybody who doesn't understand the dynamics of that race and how well he ran at Keeneland is underselling him. But now, you know, here's the 3-year-old season, and you wanted to see, you know, maturity and a step forward. It I think it's pretty clear that he wants to keep it shorter, and he would prefer one turn. I'm sure they'll look toward things like the Pat Day Mile and you know, that avenue at this point off this performance. Later on, maybe some of the lesser liked regional derbies, but the bottom line is Essential Quality, you know, heads to the next level, to the mile and an eighth prep, as you know, your clear leader. I'm sure Brad Cox is just delighted. And this was the crowning performance that made for the, you know, trio of Godolphin wins on the day, because you had Mystic Guide win the Razorback, and we talked about Antoinette earlier. Pretty impressive, when you add it all in.
Yeah, that was a nice run, certainly from Essential Quality. And, you know, it was a funny situation, having been delayed a couple of weeks, but Brad Cox had the horse down at the fairgrounds, so continued to work. And Brad Cox said after the race, you know, wasn't thrilled about the track condition, obviously, but he said, hey, it's known to rain the first Saturday in May. Now we know he can run on the surface. I'm just curious, being a Godolphin runner, I'm curious, the past couple of weeks, have you had Brendan Walsh on the show, and any kind of update on prevalence and what Godolphin is looking at for that one?
We talked to Brendan last week or the week before.
I know he missed some training time.
So. Yeah, no, he just had a little hiccup, but they're not rushing him toward a Derby prep.
Yeah, which, again, now they don't have to either. You know, they got a horse like this in a barn.
They didn't have to anyway. With him hanging, you know, ready to come back. We 2 weeks ago. When was New Orleans? When was
that was
Risen Star?
Two weeks ago.
We had Brendan. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go back, and you and I were talking before we went on the air about this performance, and I will readily admit I had Mystic Guy down in the second spot. I used Owendale. I just wasn't totally convinced on the 3-year-old season for Mystic Guy. Announced himself a little bit in the Jim Dandy, and then the second place finish in between Happy Saver and Tacitus in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, lightly raced. There was clearly some potential there, but I wasn't completely convinced, so I put Owendale on top and Mystic Guide in second. Owendale, no threat in the lane, runs third. Silver Prospector, the number one, runs second. But Mystic Guide, boy, this was one good-looking seasonal debut. Six lengths is the chart margin for this one, and a 108 buyer figure. As I say, the weekend, the Saturday stakes races produce some performers to watch during the year, and Mystic Guide probably at the top of that list.
Yeah, this is big, and you know, you talk about Godolphin having, you know, a pair of major three-year-olds once Prevalence gets back underway and folded in with, you know, with Essential Quality. How about having Maxfield and Mystic Guide in the older division? You know, there's certainly a case to be made that this is a better horse than Maxfield. I mean, he certainly, you know, faced more quality competition. Andy Serling, yesterday was making a case, and you know, Andy's been high on Mystic Guide from early on, and thinks that he's superior to Maxfield. So this was a big effort, and I imagine, you know, I imagine they'll look toward toward the Oaklawn handicap as the next step, and you know, beyond that, you know, all the predictable older horse opportunities are out there. I'm sure the Foster will be an intermediate goal as well. This was big. I'll talk to Mike Stidham tomorrow. We'll see. I guess Stidham, I guess he could think about the New Orleans, but it certainly seems to make sense. No, it makes sense to come back toward the Oakland handicap.
Yeah, they floated those two out there, and they also floated maybe Dubai out there off of this performance.
Well, I sure hope they don't do that. They might be because of connections, they might be lured. I didn't even bring that up because I would find that to be I suppose if he went over, he obviously would be a serious player, if not the favorite, maybe. But
that was floated with the same two you looked at. So we'll see where. And then having run well in the Jim Dandy, hopefully this summer up at Saratoga as well. Obviously, a lot of post-stakes action conversation planned on the radio show this week.
Yeah.
The control room got a laugh out of that.
Yeah, it's a formula. You know, the formula is 16 years old. It's going into its junior year. In high school. I'm not going to change up the formula now.
So again, SiriusXM's At the Races. You can check that out. And again, a lot of post-race conversation with the connections, and we'll look forward to that. We appreciate the visit this morning. And again, I also appreciate the tie. I wore one of the Sacco ties just in your honor this morning. I almost went tie-less this morning, but I said, no. I'm pulling one out of the sack.
I still haven't seen you. You're like a blue blur on the screen here. Let me see. Here's the picture that John sent me. So let me. I can see your picture here. Hold on. Oh, it's one of my favorites. See? Look at that.
Huh? And what was it? Wasn't it this summer I was wearing the one that you debated you might want back?
This one you can go ahead and I'm not gonna approach you on this. I've got very little. I don't wear that much, you know, tan and brown. It looks good on you though.
Thank you. I wore a coat in this.
With that tie, you get a free bowl of soup.
I wore a coat in last week. It was and a friend of mine. She was watching, and the coat, it was like a camel hair-ish coat. But on TV, it looked a little more coral. And she said, wow, that's a bold, on her TV. And she said, she texted and said, well, that's kind of a bold. But she said, did you get Steve Bick's approval? And I thought, how do people even know that?
Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
It's a thing.
It's
all right.
We got one of the great long running gags in all of sport punditry.
I got that text. I'm like, come on. All right, we got to wrap it up, though. Steve, appreciate the visit. Again, folks can check out the radio show all week long, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Seth. Thanks, everybody.
Steve Bick, SiriusXM's At the Races. And again, always great post-race commentary usually the Mondays and Tuesdays, and then kicking into previews of the next weekend. So check that out, SiriusXM's At the Races. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I do want to remind you that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, it's the Spin the Wheel promotion. You put your name in the bin. Folks come in during the afternoon, and you get your name selected out of the bin. You get to spin the prize wheel. There are vouchers. There are merchandise availabilities on the wheel. It's always a lot of fun here at the Clubhouse Racebook on this Sunday afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to step back, but we'll be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Lots of great racing action continuing after a big day yesterday. And again, the highlight today is going to be that stakes race at Oaklawn with the return of Monomoy Girls. So looking forward to that certainly this afternoon. But I'll wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Thanks to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Always appreciate their support. And once again, wrapping it up for Sunday morning, thank you for tuning in. Really appreciate it. We'll see you again in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live. Thanks for watching.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.